Jeremy says, just wing it.
You got it.
And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
It's a pleasure to be here this fine evening. You can find me at DFF underscore madman during the day.
Not at night, though?
Not at night. I will be sleeping at night. You can still reach me, though.
And Shane Manila.
Hey, I'm Shane. I don't have a cool intro like Jeremy. We got the combine coming, so you know what that means. DK Metcalf is going to destroy it and become the consensus 101.
Is that do you believe that, or are you just making a joke?
Well, no, he's going to destroy the fucking combine. He's a physical freak, and he'll be the consensus 101. I'm not drafting him at 101, but
if he gets bumped up just because he's fast, there's a problem with the process. Everybody knows. Everybody expects him to be fast. The whole thing is cracking me up. I get what you're saying. It's wrong.
It's, I just think the combine. It's what they do. He's fast.
You guys are stepping on each other.
Combine. It's a combine, dude.
Yeah, you're all breaking up.
It's a combine, bro.
So, all right, so you think that's what's going to happen this week at the combine, that DK Metcalf is going to step out there, and then everybody from now on, when we've been talking all these months, what's going to be the number one? You say that'll be the consensus 1.01?
Yep. Again, I don't think it's right. I think that's what's going to happen.
Jeremy, what do you think is going to happen?
There's a whole lot of stuff that I think is going to happen. I think guys that we don't expect to test well are going to test better than they would. The obvious things like DK Metcalf being a physical specimen notwithstanding. But I think guys like have a chance to go up in value. Some of my favorite players like N'Keal Harry, Devin Singletary, I think if they do well at the combine, they'll be thought of even more highly. Maybe rise. Those guys will rise a little because right now they're kind of hovering outside the top, you know, three, maybe five at their position. For most people, I think they have a chance to really gain ground at the combine. Other players too, lesser known guys like Isabella, receiver, if he tests well, in addition to the speed we know he already has, maybe he goes from being like a, you know, a fourth round pick to a third round or higher pick because, you know, teams put that kind of stock into his character. Terry McLaurin from Ohio State, he's going to do pretty well at the combine, and I think he's, instead of being an afterthought rank, you know, 11 and 12, he's going to rise and be in the top 10. But I'm excited to see how the running backs shake out because they're just, everybody's got a different, like, hey, rank your top five running backs. Everybody's got a different order.
Yep.
It's funny.
It's been that way for a little while now.
No, it just seems wrong to me. I mean, the rankings for running backs should be David Montgomery. Singletary could fall in there somewhere. Damian Harris. And there are actually a lot of guys like Trevion Williams that were pretty good. Going to be interesting. I mean, drafted, we always say landing spot, you know, obviously matters. This year it's going to matter a ton for the running backs because I think there's a bunch of running backs that can be really good in the right situation.
You're right. So, and even guys like Elijah Holyfield who have seemingly lost ground, maybe fallen a bit. Those are guys that were talked about at the top of this class and now maybe aren't ranked, like I said, in that top five for guys with Montgomery and Jacobs, you know, Harris and some of the bigger names in this class. Elijah Holyfield used to be right up there, possible, you know, best running back kind of guy in the class. Who knows? I mean, if these guys test well, they might really shake up that order a little bit because backs are interchangeable. You just want to get, you know, what you think is the best one. Some guys catch better than others, but it's usually a little easier to see the which backs are better than others, you know, to fit an NFL team. So I'm excited to see it. I usually watch some of it, you know, the running backs, the wide receivers as much as I can. Some of the quarterbacks, I get a kick out of seeing how those guys do in their drills. You know, you never get a chance to see them do that otherwise, right? It's exciting.
It's pretty cool, too, because these are those times, you know, we had those couple of months right after the season where people talk about who they think will be the best and whatever. And then you get the combine and you see some people show up, some people don't show up, and then you start changing your rankings. And then you have the draft and then you change your rankings again. It's all over the place. But one thing that is happening with the combine this week, one thing that stops some people is injuries. And, you know, we have RotoSurance for one of our sponsors to talk about when people are drafting their teams, especially right now with Devy and rookie and stuff, you know, it could help right now because didn't you say, Shane, that one of the major players going in the combine is hurt?
Well, two of them actually. So, and if you draft one in particular, you better make sure you get road insurance for his ass. Rodney Anderson, who has had a checkered history with health, an adversarial relationship with being healthy, I should say. The dude has torn an ACL. He broke a vertebrae in his neck at one point.
Oh, jeez.
I think that's it, right? Yeah. I don't know. He hasn't. Yeah, he hasn't been the picture of health, but it's looking like he's just really going to kind of show up and not do much, is what it looks like, according to a tweet from Tom Pelissero of NFL something or another. Tom Pelissero. Yeah, that's his name. It looks like he's with. If I just click on his thing here, oh, he's actually a reporter for the NFL Network.
Oh.
Yeah, and apparently he's the husband of Sarah Pelissero, so good for hiring him. But yeah, it's looking like Rodney Anderson's going to be focusing on his pro day. A little disappointing, I guess, because the guy's played, wow, that's it, 17 college games in 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, he's injured a lot. If he wasn't, he'd probably be, no doubt about it, the running back one in this class. And then another guy who's a lot of people's running back one, Josh Jacobs, is dealing with a groin. So not really sure what drills he's going to be able to take place, take part in. Probably the weigh-in, I'm thinking. Probably do the
yeah,
weigh-in.
Yeah, that's the point. Anderson has been hurt so much. But, yeah, guys talk about him as scouts and stuff, that he's probably the most talented overall running back in this class, but he's been so banged up. And then Jacobs, everyone was excited to see how he was going to do, because he seemingly came out of – you know, not out of nowhere, but among those Alabama running backs, and they're always loaded, he came out to be like the most talked about one, but he wasn't the first guy you ever heard, like last season, everyone talking about, you know, Damian Harris. I mean, you know, Damian Williams. Is that the right name? Damian?
No, Harris was right. Harris was right.
These guys were talked about like crazy. And Jacobs was kind of an afterthought. And now he's like the guy. So that'll be disappointing if he doesn't play.
I'm sorry, I'm fine with that, because I don't see myself drafting Jacobs anywhere. You know, I've started to learn, or at least I've started to lean on, I want to see some production in college. And Jacobs' production in college was, he had 251 rushing attempts in 3 years. There's a ton of guys in this class that reached that in one season.
This year?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his rushing high was this year, 640 yards, 20 receptions. You know, he had that, I think he had a really good, I don't know if he had a really good championship game. He had a really good game prior to that. What is that, the semifinals? Because honestly, up until the end of this year, I didn't know who the hell he was in the last college football season. Yeah,
exactly.
And I'm not the Debbie Watch guy over here, but I know, you know, fairly deep, you know what I mean? Like where I can draft in Debbie drafts and kind of know what I'm doing. And I, you know, apparently people knew who he was. It's just, you know, he doesn't play a lot, or he didn't touch the ball a lot, and he was injured in 2017. So
yeah, I don't have him number one running back, definitely. But I know a lot of people do, including some of the guests we had on not too long ago.
Exactly. And, you
know, like him, but I'm not going to go there with him yet.
No, I want to see Montgomery. I want to see the agility drills and I guess his 40. I mean, to me, he's still the running back one unless he comes out there and runs a 5.0 40, which I don't think is going to happen unless someone shoots him in the leg. And if they do, then there's bigger problems than where he's getting drafted.
Yeah. Well, maybe some of these guys won't show up at the combine and then they'll end up dropping in some people's rankings and drafts and everything.
Nah, because we still got pro days, and then, you know, everyone will be going nuts over someone's pro day. Like Rodney Anderson, I'm sure, is going to look like a stud at his pro day. He's another guy that I want to draft, but I got a feeling I'll be staying away from him unless he falls to the middle to late second just because of the injury history.
Well, it's just funny because especially more than ever this season seems to be like it's all over the place. So, and that's why I mentioned road assurance. You know, if you've got these players, if you're taking players, especially somebody that has so much injury past in college, you might want to get road assurance for your team after you draft that team.
You should just get road assurance anyway. We'll go on road assurance.com. go ahead and use the promo code or coupon code or whatever the hell it's called, referral, Dynasty Trades HQ, all in caps. Like I said, just like you're yelling at someone, and you save 20%. So that's like paying for, like, you only have to pay a fourth of the cost, right? Isn't that what it is? One fifth. So we're taking one fifth. So we're
paying one
fifth of the cost just because you listen to our show. How fucking awesome is that? We are basically saints.
And it's funny, everybody
else saying it.
Everybody always says that Shane knows math, so that works. So yeah, go check him out at Rotosurance, rotosurance.com. Yeah, and you know, with all this combine talk and rookie talk and Devy talk, it works perfect for our guest tonight. We have Katie Flower on from Under the Helmets website and the UTH podcast. So she's going to be here to talk with us about Devy and rookies and all that. So before she comes in, let's hear from gtbets.eu.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
Yeah, it sucks. There's no odds on like 40s and jumps, because I would have put money on DK Metcalf hitting a 50-inch vertical jump and then exploding through the ceiling. And actually forming into Voltron with someone else.
So what you're saying is you're telling people to go to gtbets.eu and place some bets, even if they can't bet on what you just said.
Look, I always have a message for the children during our show, and I just want to tell the kids that gambling's fun. It is. So
gambling's fun. It's the losing that sucks.
Well, that does suck. But remember, kids, you can always file for bankruptcy as well.
Well, I guess so. For those of you that are just heard Katie's voice and wondering, hey, what's going on? We have Katie here. She came in while we were doing the gtbets.eu. And thanks for joining us, Katie.
Sure. It's great to be here. Jeremy asked me, and then Shane asked me, and you didn't ask me, Mike, but what the heck? I'm always happy to jump on.
That's awesome. And yeah, sorry I didn't ask, but both of them already said that you had said okay. So hey, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Katie Flower. I am a podcaster on Under the Helmet Dynasty. I also do contribute to the site every now and again. It's been a little while. I've been kind of crazy busy with my new job. But I've been playing Dynasty Fantasy Football since 2014, and I've been playing Fantasy Football since 2012, and just really enjoy the heck out of it.
I just wondered why Katie didn't introduce herself as the Devy League goddess and quarterback whisperer, because that's how I think of her when I think of Katie Flower, because I'm in some Devy Leagues with her and she likes quarterbacks. And I just kind of, you know, I know her through that more than anything.
I think it's kind of funny that you think I like quarterbacks. If it's a start one quarterback league, I really don't like them that much at all. And I just go where the value is, really.
Yeah. Are you still the president of the Jimmy Garoppolo fan club, though? I remember there was a time.
I don't know that I ever was. I do like Jimmy G, and I think he's gorgeous. But
yeah, that's what I meant.
He will be successful if he can come back from his injury, which I don't see any real trouble with that.
You know, one thing we mentioned before you came in, Shane was saying that with the combine starting this week, that he thought that DK Metcalf could jump out to be the number one pick overall if he shows up. What do you think about what's going on? I know last year you went to the combine and you were broadcasting a lot of shows live. Are you doing that again this year?
No, we didn't go to the combine. We went to the Senior Bowl.
Oh, is that what it was? The Senior Bowl?
Yeah, okay. The Senior Bowl. So we want to go to the combine. Hopefully Chad can hook us up and get us there. That would be fantastic. But I record the combine and I watch it live, and then I watch it like 6-7 times before the NFL draft. But I do think that DK Metcalf could easily be one of the guys that finally paces the field and gives us a real 101. Now, I don't necessarily think he's going to be worthy of that. And I was talking to Chad on the podcast the other night. He's more of a boom bust profile just because of the lack of production at Ole Miss. I like AJ Brown quite a lot better than DK Metcalf. He's thicker. He's athletic. You know, he's got to run pretty fast. He played center field for the Padres. And anybody that's a two-sport athlete usually has room to grow. And he's been focused on baseball and playing baseball, even though he hasn't, you know, totally devoted to that. And I was very happily surprised, not totally surprised, but happy that he is going football instead. I think that's where he's best suited.
You know what, though? I thought maybe they did go to the combine, too. So that was my fault for telling you that maybe they did. But you know what's funny is I actually listened to the patron episode. I think it was the patron episode when Chad was talking today about that being on his bucket list to do. So that's pretty funny that I then agreed with you and said, yeah, they went.
Yeah, because we had talked about it before that you guys had went. So Shane agreed, too. But I, like I said, I remember seeing you guys in the car when you were like periscoping or whatever in the car. That was pretty cool.
So real quick, though, Katie is correct. She agrees with me. A.J. Brown is going to be a much better receiver than Metcalf. I didn't say you don't agree with me.
I like how he spins that. Nobody else agrees with Katie that AJ Brown's better than DK Metcalf.
And
yeah, sure, I was just pointing out that Katie is correct. And DJ Metcalf, DK, whatever his name is, he scares the shit out of me. He just reminds me of like with the boom bust. He reminds me of Kevin White and Breshad Perriman, and I'm scared. Same. That's exactly how his.
I agree with you there. Out. I think he's better than those two, but at football. But yeah, same kind of fear for me.
You know, it'd be interesting though if N'Keal Harry could come out and somehow run like a 4.47.
If he runs fast, yeah, it's gonna be great.
Then he would.
I don't think that's gonna happen. I'm most interested to see what Harry does during the gauntlet drill. To be honest,
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I was hoping to see. Well, I was hoping to see a couple guys catching the ball. Rodney Anderson would have been nice, but he's not going to really do anything there except say hi. I want to see Benny Snell catching the ball. Because if he shows even just a little bit of ability there, I can move him up my rankings. Because he's definitely got the two-down potential, but just need him to show a little something as a receiver.
He's not going to be fleet of foot, though, I don't think.
No. He's just.
I can't wait to see Devin Singletary. I'm so excited to see how he tests out, how he does numbers, metrics, all those sort of things that, like, we already know he's a great football player and he did well at that program. But some guys like that, I want to see them boost their stock and what people think about them at the combine. And there's an opportunity, just like with Benny Snell, for some of these players that are kind of on the bubble, well, on the outside looking in, I guess, are the top five players. And I love to see those guys just kind of shoot up the boards. But I wanted to see who Katie was excited to see at the combine or hopes shoots up the boards, maybe at wide receiver, running back.
I'm not necessarily hoping that he's going to shoot up the boards because he's already there. He's being talked about as one of the top running backs. But I would like to see David Montgomery just really kill the three-cone drill, come in at the measurement, you know, in the 220 or 220-plus range. We already know he can catch. But if he can come in and show some agility during the running drills and especially the three-cone, that's what I'm most curious about.
Big back like that is exciting if he can move and do all those sorts of things at that size. It'll be great.
And I need to tell our listeners real quick, Katie was not listening in when I was talking earlier because that's pretty much the same thing I said about David Montgomery's island assistant.
That's kind of why I laughed when you said that thing about DK Metcalf because you all of a sudden said that you agreed with her about AJ and you were talking about DK in the pre-show. But regardless, so Katie, you know, we've had people on the last couple of weeks and pretty much the last couple of months, everybody has had the same idea about this draft class. Like, it's all over the place. You ask one person who their top player is, you have a totally different answer from everybody else. Even in this discussion right here that you three just had, you guys were all saying about you're excited about this guy, you're excited about this guy. It seems like more so this year than in the past, it's like all over the place. So
yes.
Yeah, so how do you feel about this class? Is there some people that you, or do you think it is really all over the place and we have no idea till even the combine or even the draft before we have any real idea of what to do?
As a dynasty owner, I love this because it's going to be like the Wild West during rookie
drafts.
And there is no definitive 101. This is the first time since I've been playing dynasty that it's been like that. Usually 6 months, 8 months ago, we had, okay, it's Ezekiel Elliott or it's Todd Gurley or it's, you know, Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans, the first year that I played. And there's just always been a consensus within the community. There isn't this year. And I've done a lot of mock drafts on DLF. And, you know, you can see one guy go at 105 in one draft. And then the next mock draft, he goes at 206.
Yep.
And then vice versa. A guy that's at 208, the very next draft will be at 107. My number one, who's been my number one for 4 years since I, well, 3 years since I saw him as a freshman, is AJ Brown. I do play a lot of Devy, as Shane had mentioned earlier, and even though he wasn't ranked the highest on the board as a freshman, I watched his film. He, you know, DLF and the Devy report and all the other Devy, they had him as like the third or fourth or fifth wide receiver. And he's always been my number one. I also like Damien Harris a lot as my number one running back.
Yeah.
I like him a lot better than a lot of hype on Josh Jacobs. And now he's got a little bit of an injury. So that's disappointing. I wanted to see him do everything. I do like Josh Jacobs. I just think he's, I'm going to be priced out of him too much this year in drafts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's funny with Damien Harris. I ended up in the three Devy leagues that I'm in. He was the guy that I ended up getting because a lot of people were going for some other names. So I went with Damien Harris. So I have a kind of a personal thing. I want to see him do well. But so you agree then with everybody else that it's just kind of all over the place. Well, did you?
Yes, it is all over the place. What I like about it is there's a lot of landmines for people that don't do their own homework, that just follow other people's
boards. Exactly.
They're going to be in for the Ronald Jones of this year or whoever ends up, you know, in that kind of same type.
Well, yeah, this is the kind of the type of year where you have to definitely, you, in addition to secondary research, you really have to have your own way of ranking these players, or, you know, use your own judgment. And that's what I find exciting about this class too, like you said. And when everybody, well, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people are down on this class. Oh, the 2019 class, yada, yada, yada. Except that very deep, very talented at the tight end position. There are a lot of running backs that could surprise, and I don't think, I mean, we don't have Saquon Barkley this year, but I don't necessarily think that the depth behind Barkley last year is that much better than the kind of running backs that are in this class, at the top of this class, the ones that, you know, show out. And wide receiver is exciting as heck, because you could maybe have like the 110 and still get a guy in that first round that ends up being the stud of a group of wide receivers if you do your homework. And that's why I can't wait to do some of these rookie drafts, because I think that homework's going to pay off for some of us.
I think that the running back class is going to be a lot kind of like the 2014 class, where people push Bishop Sankey and Carlos Hyde and Jeremy Hill up the board more than they should have, because it was just lack of guys. And some of them were decent for a little while, but you know,
right.
I think that's the kind of class that we've got. There's, you know, even was it 2015 or 16? I think 16 with Ken Dixon and Jordan Howard and Will Fuller's class and all that. Like, it was the same type of thing. If you hit on Michael Thomas, great. But everything else in between, there was a lot of landmines. I think it's going to be very similar to that.
Yeah,
there is talent, but there's going to be a lot more landmines, I think.
That's the Laquan Treadwell draft, Josh Doctson, Corey Coleman. Oh God, and if Will Fuller, I just remember him being drafted first, and I'm like, really him? Nah, Laquan Treadwell. Oh yeah,
you know, baseball cap, it did him in.
Well, people have been talking for months about trading away picks and everything, and it's, even hearing what you guys are saying about these players and everything, it seems kind of like this would have been a rookie class to trade away. What did you do with your rookie picks? Did you go after rookie picks, or did you trade them away? Did you want to stay in this class, or what did you do with your teams?
I'm usually a hoarder. I traded most of my firsts and sec. I mean, I actually try to compile more seconds and thirds, and just, you know, I'll take what the board gives me and let's see what what value drops. I'd rather miss on a second rounder than a 101, 103, 105.
Yeah.
So for this class, you traded away your first, is what you're saying?
I did.
Yeah.
For the most part. But then again, up until the beginning of the up until the end of last year, I was in 42 leagues. I'm down to 25. So I had several a culling of the herd, if you will. And, you know, for the leagues that I still have remaining, I have very few first round picks.
So just real quick, how did you because I do that every off season or the end of the year. I go, okay, these leagues aren't enjoyable to me, and I'm going to keep it under this number. And then immediately I join more than I actually quit and end up in more leagues. So I gotta learn that skill from you.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I had to. There were several that I just didn't like, whether it was a conflict with the other owners or the commissioner, rule changes or something that, or just lack of participation. And, you know, when you join a dynasty league, you intend to be there forever. But just sometimes it's just not the right mix, the right fit. Maybe it wasn't the right format. I was in one that was an auction, and it really just, it wasn't my favorite format. And I know a lot of people like auction, but I just didn't enjoy the rookie drafts always being in auction.
Yeah, I like auction startups, but I'm not really that fond of them otherwise. I think the startups are great like that. Go and get players you want. You pay for what you want. But yeah, rookie drafts, it's almost like there has to be a better way to dole out picks than to just let people grab ass for players. It's just not that fun. It's kind of, I don't know how to put it. Burden. It becomes a burden.
The whole point of rookie picks is you're supposed to make the weaker teams better. That's supposed to be their chance to either trade in that asset or not. And even if you give them a little bit more money, it doesn't work the same as going, okay, this is the pick that you have. Like last year, you could have rebuilt your whole team off the back of having a 101. And, you know, you'd probably hate watching Saquon run all over the place last year. But you could have gotten easily rebuilt a roster, at least started to rebuild a roster.
I've seen some pretty crazy trades on Twitter revolving around him. And I did pay up in one league last year to obtain the 101 just because I knew he was the real deal and it was worth it.
What do you have? Did you have him in any other leagues other than that one league?
Oh, sure.
You guys know I had no problem with it last offseason. I was trading absolutely everything in sight for him, and I didn't think twice.
I remember.
Because he's that good, you know. I'm confident enough that I can find the other players to build around. And, you know, it's not every day you can find a running back or any player, really, for that matter.
Honestly,
could hit 30 points.
Yeah.
Right. Once you get your team to a certain point, there's only so many guys that you can have on your roster. You might as well trade the up-and-comers, quote-unquote, and, you know, turn them into a stud. That consolidates your roster, and you just move from there.
Yeah. Well, you know, you said you had, what, 40-something, and you're down to 20?
I'm 25. Sorry.
25. So what type of league do you enjoy more than others? If you narrowed it down to 20.
With me for sure.
What leagues do I enjoy the most?
Let's see. Superflex, Devy, tight end, start two. Very deep. Very deep.
There you go. Yep. I like it deep, and I like them young.
Yes.
Wow. You heard it here first.
She said
that makes sense.
Can I use that as the title?
It's funny when Katie says it, but I say it, and all of a sudden it's, oh, don't come around to this high school anymore.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, my God. Well, all right.
You say it in a creepy way. She said it in a funny, comedic way. But I'm in three Devy League. Well, Katie, we're in three Devy Leagues together, at least three, on top of, like, a couple other leagues that we're in together. And we don't have to go down this rabbit hole too far, but I remember you, Mike, and I started a league, and there were some sort of people that didn't get along and ruined it. And that was actually shaping up to be one of the most fun because it was active and there was a lot of talk, but a couple of bad apples in that ruined it, and we never did. We just shut it down and never started it back up. But another league. But
yeah,
I think it'd be great to do a startup sometime with you and get like set up a Devy league the way that we with all the aspects that we want. Kick it off right, and
because we have fun in those leagues. And if you don't like a league, it's got there's got to be something wrong with it, because I mean, honestly, in all those leagues with you, like, you can't possibly be the problem. I mean,
I was going to mention, Katie, that was the only league you and I were in. And that was one of those first ones. Yeah, you were in it, and Bill Latin was in it and stuff. But that was one of the first ones that got started with DFF. And
was in that league and who ruined it.
Okay, all right. But I was going to mention that, Katie. That was the only league that you and I were ever in.
The one Devi league that Katie and I are in, the first one we started, that sprung off of some other league, which is how I'm in four leagues.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I think we drafted like 140 Devi players or something like that. It was pretty deep.
I like to go deeper than that.
It was pretty deep.
That was pretty deep. That might have satisfied you, but it just doesn't satisfy.
I think ours are deep, right, Katie? I mean, don't we have like 30 Devi players on some of our rosters in those Devi leagues? Like Devi Life and stuff. I love those.
And those are triple flex too, where you can start three quarterbacks.
Oh wow.
Those are so much fun. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I haven't made that step to triple flex yet. I know it's coming.
That's what the real dynasty Devi players do, Shane. Just, you know, when you get to that level with me and Katie, like,
yeah, I know, Katie, you even on your timeline, you were retweeting a league a couple days ago that has 200 Devis in the startup.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I like that. The players are, the Devi players were in our startup too, because Saquon Barkley went at 112 a year before his final year at Penn State. He was the 112 in that draft. And I remember a few of us making fun of the guy that drafted him. And then 1 year later, feeling like a complete ass, because I'm like, God damn it, I wish I would have done that.
Yeah, you can't make fun of people, man.
No, but here's the thing. It was laugh-worthy because it was early. But you have to hit on a guy like that. Yeah. I knew he was the goods, but there's also so many other players that are the goods that if what I like is waiting till the eighth round and getting a Nick Chubb instead of taking Saquon Barkley at the 112.
Absolutely.
And then he took Darius Geis at the 201. So he went back.
Yeah.
Now with Darius Geis, he may or may not stud out like we think that he will, but there's so many guys that even 1 year out, I've got some Devi leagues where you only draft one player each, one Devi player per season. That's 12 guys. So the rookie drafts are not all that depleted, but I'm looking at the hits and the misses. If you want, I can read you a few. It's funny as heck. Just a difference let's see.
Yeah, first round. How'd that go? What came out of that?
All right. So in 2014, this is a late season startup draft, and you could draft just a total of 12 Devi. Todd Gurley was 101. I took him at the 207 overall in the startup. Amari Cooper was second. Melvin Gordon, those guys are hits. Devin Funchess, a hit. Laquon Treadwell, missed. Doriel Green Beckham, a miss. Derrick Henry, sort of a hit. Leonard Fournette, a hit. Marcus Mariota. I don't know why you take a quarterback in a start one league in a Devi format Jeez. Alex Collins was next. Tyler Boyd and Duke Williams. The next year was in 2014 in the rookie Devi draft, Nick Chubb 101, Ezekiel Elliott, Darunya Wilson, Royce Freeman, Corey Davis, Mike Williams, Malachi Dupree, Corey Clement, Devonta Booker, Samaji Perine, Rashard Higgins. And then the next year was Juju Smith-Schuster, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, three studs, Christian Kirk, Deshaun Watson, Darius Geis, Calvin Ridley, Elijah Hood, Cortland Sutton, Deion Kane, Ronald Jones, and Alan Lazard. But then listen to 2016, the very first two guys. Equanimeous St. Brown was 101, Amon Richards, number two, Cam Akers went three, Auden Tate, number four, Mike Weber, number five, James Washington, then N'Keal Harry, A.J. Brown, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Travion Williams, and L.J. Scott. So still some guys out there that we don't know, but, you know, certainly four out of the first five were busts.
Jeez, one of the guys already retired.
Exactly.
Before ever playing a snap in the NFL.
And I stay away from quarterbacks in most of the Debbie drafts unless I do it later, because I just don't want to. I want to get other bet, you know, more, take less of a risk. And so that's how I wound up with like guys like Mitch Trubisky, because I knew I'm in Ohio and I knew him from Mentor. I'm like, oh, I went to North Carolina. I love this kid. I'm going to take him late. Nobody even knows who the hell he is. Totally just lucky. Like, didn't know he was going to do anything. He could have been the next Jarrett Stidham, who knows. But, right. You know, it worked out late.
But real quick, Katie, you've done some research in the hit rates on Devy, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Good. Why don't you share that with our audience?
Our lovely listeners.
Okay. So if you think of the entire college landscape, that's who you're drafting from. When you're drafting just one round of Devy per year, you've got a hit. You've got to pick somebody that you really feel very strongly about. And running backs are the easiest. They're about 35% hit rate. Wide receivers, they're more, it's more dependent on how early they hit. You want a young breakout age. So guys that are going to start as freshmen, guys that are going to start as sophomores. So you look at depth charts. Even still, it's only about a 23% hit rate. Tight ends are about 12%. I don't even touch tight ends, even in tight end premium, unless it's the second or third year and I've already got a big coffer of running backs and wide receivers and it looks like I'm going to be hitting. You can only roster so many players. You can only trade so many players. So then I might take a chance on some tight end. And quarterbacks, only two per season on average for the last 20 years end up a three-year or longer NFL starter. And a lot of people are like, well, quarterbacks, the super flex, you got to take your chances. Not in the first couple of years of the league. Once you build the running backs, which are the easiest to hit, you can either trade for quarterbacks or, you know, at that point in year three or year four, especially if you've got a deeper taxi squad, then you can start to take some shots at quarterback. But I wanted to run by some stats on quarterback just for the fun of it. I put up a poll on Twitter just to see what other people wanted to do. Like, how do you normally draft for your Devy quarterbacks? And the results were kind of interesting. A lot of them, the majority of them said 5-star rated. Well, Christian Hackenberg was a 5-star rated. He was 6'4", 234 pounds. He did start as a freshman. Bing. That was another one. Start as a freshman was 25% on that poll, what people look for. And so that's always a good sign. But his passer rating, his stats, he threw almost 3,000 yards in year one, 58.9% completion. But he had 10 interceptions and 20 touchdowns. I don't know about you guys, but that's not that good. And then he goes in as a sophomore, and at 55.8% passing percentage, almost 3,000 yards again, but only 6.2 yards per average. And this time he had 12 touchdowns with 15 interceptions. And in his third year, and by now he's already been taken in Devy. Everybody was touting him big time. He was one of the guys that was taken across the board as the 101 in Devy after his freshman season and even before, just based on 5-star athlete, ranked number 2 in the country, 6'4", prototypical size type of guy. And then he finished his career with an average 56% completion rate and 48 touchdowns to 31 interceptions. That should have been everybody's big glimpse into Christian Hackenberg. I call him Sackenberg. And yeah. now he can't even live in the AAF. He's being replaced by Zach Mettenberger.
Good.
Then you look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes. He was a 3-star athlete, 22 overall, and nobody drafted him in Devy unless it was a deep Devy. He ended up going in round one, 6'3", 230, prototypical, but he started as a freshman. And yes, as a freshman, he started off at only 56.8% completion, but his touchdown to INTs was much better, 16 touchdowns to 4 INTs. Then he took over as true starter as a sophomore. He didn't start all the games as a freshman. And as a sophomore, he put up 4,600 yards with a 64% completion and 36 touchdowns to 15. That should have been a big clue. And then the junior season, again, backed it up with another 66% and 5,000 yards, 41 touchdowns with 10 INTs. This guy is the real deal. And he was a 3-star out of nowhere. Andrew Luck was a four-star. He was somebody that was high in Devy, but he started off his freshman year with only a 56% completion, turned it into 70% his next two seasons with a high touchdown to INT ratio. That's what I look for. Do they throw a lot more touchdowns than interceptions? And, you know, what they have to be above 60% completion is what I'm looking for if I do take them. Russell Wilson, another three-star that ended up being a very solid NFL quarterback, as you know. And he didn't have the greatest of stats in college. And plus, he was small and undersized. So he was nobody in Devy. You never know with quarterbacks. They can come out. Carson Wentz came out of the blue. Nobody had him in Devy. It's a really hard hit rate.
It really is.
Well, you know, I love that poll that you're talking about is your pinned tweet, but it's like it's from 2017. So it's obviously still something that's very important to you. What do you feel about the couple of guys that people are talking about with this year's class? Any of those quarterbacks, do you care?
Yes, I do. Actually, I love Trevor Lawrence. I think he's the real deal. You look at his stats, he's over 70% completion as a freshman, and his touchdown to interception ratio is great. He had a lot of yards, and he's got a young team around him. He's got great wide receivers. He's got a great coach. That's the prototypical kind of guy. He's got the right size, the right build, and the right attitude. And then Tua Tagovailoa, same thing. He's got fantastic stats. He's mobile and can throw, and I think he's got plenty of arm speed for the lefty. He throws more deep balls than most quarterbacks, including Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray.
So, and that may be the first time anyone has ever said his last name correctly on a podcast.
We've said his name a few times, and I don't think I've
quite a lot,
ever.
We don't let you say it.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
As I said, I haven't even attempted. Like, I don't even think I know what his last name is.
No,
I just look at his first, and I'm like, that guy.
That's Tua. Why everybody just says Tua.
Yeah,
it's like Madonna, Tua. You just know them.
But it's perfect that you know it. So what since Devy is your wheelhouse, the thing you like the best, what Devy players do you think some people should be looking at? You know, if people are trading away their picks, they're going for 2020 picks, what players do you think people should keep their eye on right now for next year?
The 2020 class is going to be deep in running back, seriously deep. I could name five guys off the top of my head if they come out. Now, they don't have to because they'll be juniors. But DeAndre Swift is my number one guy in the class. But it's very, very tight because you got Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. I'm sorry, DeAndre Swift is Georgia. Jonathan Taylor is Wisconsin. Cam Akers, Florida State. Florida State sucks. And their offensive line sucks. And he's not getting a lot of playing, you know, in good quality moments. So he doesn't get the blocking and the yardage like everybody else. So he's going to slip under the radar, I think, in a lot of people to put up the total overall numbers. Najee Harris is going to have a good chance to take over now that both Damian Harris and Josh Jacobs are gone at Alabama. He's highly touted. And Travis Etienne out of Clemson. Yeah. He's another big boy. And he's starting to throw people, just cast them aside, like truck them. And those guys, and then they've got some good wide receivers as well. Jerry Jeudy out of Alabama is a great route runner. I'm trying to think. T. Higgins, I think, is eligible for next year. He's out of Clemson. He's going to have another year with Trevor Lawrence, and Lawrence is going to light it up. He'll be one of the beneficiaries of that. But, you know, there's just so many names. You can just keep on going.
Yeah, that first round, Jesus Christ, that's going to be one of those drafts where really it's probably going to be through two rounds of talent before you're like, all right, I'm done. Because Donovan Peoples-Jones, is he draft eligible last year?
He's eligible. Yeah.
J.K. Dobbins.
Dobbins.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins is also eligible. But some of those guys are going to stay, which will make the 2021 class nice. And 2021 has some nice pieces too. So if you take who stays from 2020 and put them with the 2021 guys, that'll be a nice solid class as well.
I gotta be honest with you, if I was any of these kids and they told me I had a first three round NFL grade, I'm gone. Screw college. I'll buy a college later. Well, I mean, look at a guy like LJ Scott, who after I guess his freshman season, people thought like, oh, this guy's pretty good. And then just now I haven't even heard I don't even think he's invited to the combine. I don't even know. Like, I've heard
he's
nothing.
He's had a lot of off-field issues that he's created for himself.
Yeah.
He can't keep his driver's license for some stupid fucking reason. People have troubles. I'm not saying he's stupid, but...
He might be, though.
He might be. I think he's a knucklehead. Think,
there's a good chance that he is. Yeah. We're going to say the probability is high. So, right. This year's quarterback class... real quick, Peter King reported today that Kyler Murray's up to 206 pounds, which means he might not die on the field. So how are you feeling about Kyler?
Me or anybody?
You.
I talk to these guys all the time. You know.
Shane thought he would be the 101 for him in a super flex.
I like Dwayne Haskins for the longevity better. Dwayne Haskins has it all. He's not just the running quarterback that Steven Smith says that he is. He actually had over 70% pass completion, and he had the volume. He was like sick volume. I don't have it off the top of my head. But
broke 28 school records and second best in pressure out of all the quarterbacks in this class.
Yeah, and he has a body that's not going to break into with the first
right.
hit or second
hit. Yeah. Yeah.
I do like Kyler Murray, but if he does really weigh in at 206 and it's not just from chewing tobacco and retaining
5'7", 206 running back Kyler Murray, just kidding.
Yeah, well, I mean, we worry about running backs that are 206 pounds, like Christian McCaffrey, and what's he going to do? Now, I know that there's a difference. You're not running the ball up the middle every single time, and they've got the pansy rules about you can't touch a quarterback unless you bring him flowers and kiss him on the cheek, and then you can...
It's called the Tom Brady rule.
Yeah, I don't think it's just that. But
I know, you're right. Yeah.
I like the pansy rule. That's great.
Yeah. My name's Flower. I can name it the pansy rule.
That's awesome. Just put that together myself. That's great.
I just don't. It's not that he's short.
No.
It's that he's slight. It's not the body. It's the body type. I don't think he's got the same body type as like a Russell Wilson, for example.
Yeah, Russell's
not thick like that. Not at all.
Yeah, Wilson's and that's
stocky. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't watched. I don't know. I'm not one of those guys that can look at someone and go, can he put on a lot onto that frame? Like, you know, some people look at people and go, oh, he could put more onto that frame. I don't know if he's one of those guys.
Yeah. He's got a Oakland A's type body.
Yeah, he does.
But he does have a lot of heart. He's a fierce competitor, he can sling the ball. He is accurate. I do like him as a quarterback, as a college quarterback. I have my doubts. I wouldn't want to invest in Superflex in him as my – if I needed a quarterback, oh, boy, I'd be like, ugh. I'd much rather have Haskins.
Most of my Superflex leagues I learned quickly. There's a couple of the leagues where it's ugly at the QB position. But most of the Superflex leagues I realized, like, oh, no, you can't just get by with Derek Carr and Joe Flacco. that's not going to work. You better just look. I'll take my shots on my studs. I'll get my Carson Wentz, my Baker Mayfield early. And like my second quarterback, I also want to be a top 15 quarterback. So taking Kyler Murray is going to be one of those. If he hits, I can trade somebody else or maybe trade him later for more. But well, yeah, no, I hear you. I don't think I'm risking that if I have to. Have a quarterback and I need him to hit.
Right. If you've got the luxury, sorry, Mike, if you've got the luxury of depth already, he's a great guy to stash. And then the first sign of really true hype, or if he looks like the real deal, then keep him. But if it first sign of really big hype, sell him for a profit and trade him for somebody that you think is a little more stable asset or somebody that happens to have a bad season, because let's face it, Dynasty is a bunch of people that forget what somebody did and they're willing to quit on somebody just at the first sign of CJ Anderson happens to have a couple of good games and there goes Todd Gurley's stock down, and I'll take every share of Todd Gurley I can get.
Yeah. So it's actually pretty funny. I posted somebody for DFF, I forget who now, but they wrote an article about Todd Gurley, how, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, it's Todd f***ing Gurley. Like, he's fine, dude. Like, he was clearly injured. They're not admitting it because they don't want to get fined and lose draft picks. All right? Like, it's Todd f***ing Gurley. He's okay. And there's people on Facebook going, oh, he's washed. I'm like, what the f***? Like, seriously, he's washed from – did you see him in week 10? Did he look washed then? So you're telling me that his career ended from week 10 to now. Like, come on. Exactly like you said, Katie. Yeah, it's like we are goldfish. It's that. It's exactly that. You swim around. Ooh, bright light. Ooh, bright light.
Yeah. Well, those folks that play in the – I mean, the people that play in dynasty leagues and especially Devy leagues, I mean, you have to take your own notes, keep notes. And I've talked about that confidence rating that I have for players that, you know, sort of intangibles come into play. Things outside of what people are looking at stats-wise, situational, personality, all those kinds of things that, like, scouts look at that aren't really in the numbers that metrics guys are spitting at you. You know, that just helps you put the puzzle together and gives you a few more pieces to complete the, you know, the puzzle. And I think those things are important, like the things that Katie pointed out and the short memories. And that's how you can beat people in your leagues, is by keeping, you know, having a better memory, so to speak, keeping track of some of these things that other people maybe that you're competing against don't even remember.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and part of what we do on the show, Katie, we talk about trades and people send us messages and send us tweets about trades. But I know that you wanted to bring in a couple trades that you wanted to ask us about for the show tonight. One that you didn't want to put on the show sheet so that we can kind of slip it in there for Shane.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Did I offer it to her?
Maybe. Yeah. So, sometimes, Katie, if that's what it is, people slip it in, it's a Shane trade. But I know you said
it's not a Shane trade.
Okay, but before we wrap up tonight, yeah, we wanted to see what you brought for us.
All right, it's a 14-team super flex, and it's a Devy league, but it's just the 20 Devy total. When it hits 20, then you've just got to draft rookies with the leftover picks. So the one team is turning into a contender and traded Teddy Bridgewater, Darius Geis, and N'Keal Harry for DeAndre Hopkins.
I'll take Nook.
I'll take Hopkins too.
Jesus.
Yeah. And that's the thing about Devy that you have to be aware of, is this is the time of year right before the combine. N'Keal Harry's still a stud right now in everybody's minds. He's going to be the 101 or the 102 or the 103. Everybody's thinking that. And I'm a little bit skeptical. Now, I got him at a good deal in this format. I think we got him in like round 2 or 3, and we're turning him into Nuke. Teddy Bridgewater is like our fifth quarterback, which is nice in Superflex to have the commodity in a 14-teamer, especially. And it was right after a dispersal draft, so a brand new owner that didn't get very deep in the dispersal draft, and we wanted to give him some depth. So it ended up working out as a win-win. But you know, 1 year during I just had taken over an orphan, and it was a one-round or two-round Devy, and I knew that Malachi Dupree was a big name, but I did not like him. I did not think he was going to do anything. Yeah. I traded him straight up for Saquon Barkley.
Awesome. Amazing. That's great.
That's the beauty of Devy leagues, is that if you know what you're doing and not just following people's rankings, because a lot of people, they come to me on Twitter and they're like, hey, I just got this one, and this one. I'm rich. I got all these players. And it's like, well, that's what you think right now because of where they're ranked right now. But that has absolutely nothing to do with
gold fever
in two years or 3 years when they make it to the NFL. I mean, look at Equanimeous St. Brown and the hype that he was getting. He was another one I didn't have a whole lot of belief. He was that boom bust type prospect, and even when he went as late as he went, and after Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Green Bay drafts three wide receivers, and Equanimeous St. Brown is the last one.
Exactly.
I mean, is that not a sign? But people were still like, "Oh, I still got to get him because I got to. He's gold. He's gonna play with Aaron Rodgers."
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, I actually capitalize on that, you know, too. It would trade those picks away because, I mean, the fact of the matter is, this person thinking N'Keal Harry is great, but even if he ever becomes DeAndre Hopkins in the future, how many years are you waiting and losing the production of DeAndre Hopkins just on the pretense that that could happen possibly someday? It's crazy. They go nuts.
Well, I mean, Katie gave the stats on Devy players. I mean, you should know, I would hope most dynasty players, any fantasy players, know that rookie picks are likely not going to hit,
right?
Let alone Devy picks.
Like 50% first round picks even matter after the draft, though.
And it might even actually be less than that, depending on what you consider.
It's definitely not over 50%.
No.
We can split hairs on that, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll trade away Devy player for a real person any day. Like I did that, you know, I loved AJ Brown and I didn't want to trade him, but I did trade him last year
and
I traded to get Joe Mixon.
I've traded DeAndre Swift and I love DeAndre Swift, yeah. But I just got Odell Beckham Jr. recently and traded DeAndre Swift and Tua Tagovailoa, and it is a super flex, but it's a league where I'm not sure if it's even going to be a league 2 or 3 years from now.
Yep.
Based on what I mean, I want OBJ now. I want my money now. You know, it's like,
especially Tua, he's a freshman, so you're looking at what, 2 more years in college.
He was a sophomore, so now
he was a sophomore last year.
He can go.
Oh, okay, so 1 more year. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So right. Come out. But even still, I don't even know if the league's going to be around next year.
Right. Yeah. And you don't know.
And unfortunately, that is a situation that we're all dealing with a lot of these leagues. We go into these leagues assuming and hoping that they're going to last, but a lot of them don't. Even like you said, you were in 40 some odd and now you're in 20 some odd. So,
right. And some of them, the reason that I got out of them is because the league folded at least three or four of them. And then some of the other ones were on their way. So.
And we just had that this year, Katie. All three of the leagues that we're in together, the Devy leagues, I think I remember all of the Devy leagues we're in together, but three of them, the commissioner decided he didn't want to be a commissioner anymore, too much work. And that's actually the second time in all three of those leagues this has happened. And we almost didn't get people to volunteer. I don't mind being a co-commissioner in regular leagues, but Devy leagues, there's just always something to do and the dates and the players. I mean, it's just high maintenance. And I mean, kudos to those guys. I honestly feel if you commission a Devy league, you probably should get some payment from the league because it's such a pain in the ass. But again, I mean, I don't want the league to fold because we've been invested in this 3-4 years now. And, you know, we have good teams, good Devy players.
Yeah.
You know, all that time investment and the fun you had, you got to do something to keep the league together. And I would have been commissioner if I had to, just to keep those good quality leagues that we have.
Pretty much since we've been talking about all these trades for a year now, I've always been trading away my rookie picks and my Devy picks, especially. I know, Shane, we just talked about AJ Brown, and in our Devy league for DFF, I traded you AJ Brown and you gave me Philip Lindsay, Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, and a third round pick.
I'm
pretty sure I got back more than just AJ.
No, you got AJ Brown and Jameis Winston. Yeah, because you had no quarterback. You needed a quarterback.
Okay,
no, but I didn't.
Jesus, how are you going to leave the top 10 scoring quarterback out of the trade?
Well, because I was
talk about framing something.
Well, because Jesus, you freaking Christ. Interrupted me. I didn't finish talking.
It's true. You interrupted him. I don't think he was intending to spin that.
He was taking congratulations from you and Katie.
No, what I was trying to say.
It wasn't a bad trade by Shane,
my God.
AJ Brown. He needed the quarterback. That's pretty fair. You got a bunch of guys, Cooper Kupp, Godwin. I mean, yeah. It's an even trade. I remember us talking about that.
He had a bunch of quarterbacks. He had them growing out.
I had five quarterbacks. Yeah. And you had none. But the point, I wasn't trying to say that I did better than you. What I was trying to say was that I trade away those Devy players to get as many pieces that I can use right now. And that was the point of what I was trying to make. So screw you.
The future is now, Mike. The future is
Well, real quick, here's an interesting stat. 47% of startups actually fail within their first year.
Yeah.
And I made that up. So, I mean, it sounded good.
But see, that's the problem, though. It sounded.
This is the guy that was splitting hair on the splitting hairs about the number of rookie picks in the first round that make it, and he just makes up a number.
That number, clearly, I just made up. I'm guessing I'm in right now, I don't know, 30-something leagues. Throughout my lifetime, though, and I think it's going into either my fifth or sixth year of Dynasty, I've probably been in close to 100 between ones that have folded, or I found out that I hated IDP, or I found out that I hated everyone in the league, or, you know, for whatever reason you leave leagues. Mostly it's because the people suck.
Yeah, honestly, that is the biggest reason.
Some leagues just aren't fun for whatever reason, and you just end up leaving. But yeah, Katie's point's well taken. Like, you take that win now. I'm not taking a guy that... Look, a lot can happen in a year in college, just like when Katie was breaking down Christian Hackenberg. I mean, yeah, I remember hearing about him in high school, you know, because I live in Philly. So we hear about Penn State, but that kid was he was the next great one. And after his freshman season, it just all fell apart.
Well, I was just going to say one other thing about that A.J. Brown trade with you. We were talking about leagues folding, and what I was trying to say is that is our main DFF Devy league. That league is not going anywhere. That's the league where if you're in DFF, you're in that league, and it's staying around. So for something like that, for you, you're banking on future stuff, and for me, I wanted some players now. And even though a lot of these leagues fold, the fact that you said that number and we all just shook our head and agreed with you, it's because people believe that's the way it is.
Seems plausible.
Yeah. And the other thing is there's a lot of people that feel bad about leaving or other people say something about people leaving, but especially the part where you said, if you're not having fun, if you don't like the people, if you don't like the league, I mean, what's the point of staying in it? You know, if it's
If you tried to win the whole time and build a good team and you're not just leaving because you traded everything away because, you know, you try to the only thing I like to build into leagues is protecting the league from people just screwing everybody over and leaving. And you have a team that nobody wants to, you know, orphan and take over. So you protect the league that way. I don't care about anything else as long as it works for the league, like those weird scorings and potential points for draft picks. I don't think you need all that monkey business to have a good quality league. It's the people, and it's just having some basic things in place to protect the league. But exactly, if you have a good team and you didn't do anything to screw people over and you paid your dues and everything's, you know, legitimate and you tell people in good order at good point in time, hey, I don't want to be in this league anymore. You know, I'll stick around until you find someone to fill it. I can help you fill it. Stuff like that. But yeah, what if you're not having fun? What's the point?
Yeah,
one of the leagues that I left 3 first round picks and a great team, a great young team, but I had one of the owners, when I sent him a very fair trade offer, for some reason he hated the player that I offered him. It was still a fair trade offer, and his comment was, don't ever send me another trade again, ever. And he was like, really, like, just...
I'm insulted. Like, you're insulted.
And that was like 6 months ago, and it was just like, nobody wanted to trade, nobody wanted to even talk, and the rules were archaic. It was just one of those that I thought I was going to like and I didn't end up liking, but I left a very good team and 3 first round picks for this year's draft. So nobody can say that I left a league and left a bad team that has to be, in a dispersal just because of it or whatever.
It is funny. You know, we all jump in a lot of these leagues just because we're all on Twitter. We have our websites, we have our podcasts, and then people say, hey, come in here. And sometimes it's just like, you just don't want to be there anymore. So listen,
no,
Katie,
I have actually learned my lesson with that, because there would be a bunch of times people would be like, hey, you want to join a league? And I'm like, sure. And then join it. And exactly that. I'm like, this sucks. So now I'll only join leagues that are really interesting, or maybe with people that I haven't been in leagues before. Like me, Katie, and I don't know if Jeremy's in this one, but we spun off 2 leagues from our original league. And it's like, all right, it's mostly the same group of people. Some variations here and there, but each of the leagues has kind of got its own little twist.
Meth heads?
No, meth heads, well, and then that's one of them, but
we also have another one.
I like that.
Yeah.
See, I think that's kind of where we're heading with some of these leagues. We're all kind of intertwined with each other, and you find out which people really work well with everybody and is really into it, and eventually we can build some kind of league that will really last.
Super league?
League. Something that'll be awesome. So, Katie.
8,000 teams with 1,400 copies.
No, I don't think there'll be that many people that'll be
everybody
good.
Everybody on Twitter
but
can be in it.
I'm just talking about the people that we end up liking. But, Katie, thank you so much for joining
us. Katie had other trades?
Did you?
We just rambled on.
No, she just said no. She told Jeremy and I that she had the one trade that she was going to pick up. So
we should ask her if she's done talking first.
Well, that's what I was trying
to do.
Well, that's what I was trying to do.
Shane, let's stop talking and let Sipes do his thing. Go ahead, buddy. Sorry.
Katie, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You know, it was a lot of fun. Was there anything else that you'd like to talk about, or is there anything you want to promote before we wrap up and go into the Scouting Academy?
No, I'm just really excited for the NFL Combine this weekend. I'm going to OD on football. I've been enjoying the AAF. It's been, you know, kind of fun to watch them actually hit and not get penalized and have some real football. But thank you guys so much for having me on. If you want, you can follow me on Twitter at FF_Skyler399. And I am also Under the Helmet Dynasty Podcast, and just had a blast chatting football with you guys.
Yeah, Katie, she does a show with, usually it's her and Chad, or Chad will do it with Tim. And then Jordan, I believe, is only on the premium ones. But, you know, I love all three of those. I like the UTH podcast a lot. I remember when I first started playing Dynasty football, everybody was like, all they like is young people. And I'm like, yeah, all they like is young people. And then I listened to the show and I was like, wait, what? No, that's not what they're saying. That's not what they're saying at all. And and I just always remember Katie talking about how she liked them thick. They gotta have a meaty ass. And that's one of the that's one of the lessons I picked up early. Was like, yeah, I want running backs with a thick butt.
Yeah, it's true. But, I mean, you're gonna look for that.
Yeah, if any of our listeners don't listen to UTH, definitely check it out. It's a great podcast. I can't choose which one I like better, Katie or Tim, when they're on. I like when they're both on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tim is a great friend of the show. He's been on the show a few times, and he's a lot of fun to have. I know when I first started Dynasty, I listened to you guys, and I was listening to it when you first joined the show, and I listened to it when Tim first joined the show. So I think you guys
both joined at the same time.
Exactly, and I think you guys were both great additions at the time. And I also thought it was actually kind of cool because you guys were fans that had listened to the show and spoke to Chad and sent trade and asked him all these questions, and then you guys ended up being hosts with him. And I always thought that was a really cool situation, the way that kind of melded. So I'm glad you have a lot of success with them, and I'm glad the show's doing great with you guys. And thank you for coming on with us. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been great fun.
It's been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you guys having me on, and I'm looking forward to the combine and just getting back into some more football.
That's awesome. And again, thank you so much for joining us. And before we wrap up the show, we got to hear from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
Yeah, so go on the site, hit up the Scouting Academy link, save yourself some money on the next class, and learn how to look at what you're watching. And yeah, that's it. Oh, also, just wrapping up, I got a new article on the website, DynastyFootballFactory.com, why you should buy Vance McDonald. That's it.
Awesome. Yeah, go ahead and check out our site, DynastyFootballFactory.com. You'll find articles like the one that Shane wrote about Vance McDonald. You'll also find all the links to all the podcasts we have. You know, also, I believe they just revamped the ADP and they're redoing the ranking system. So we've got some new rankers coming, and everything's going to be great here in the off season. We also, hey, the Devy Watch got released this week, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Devy Watch got released. It did. Go buy it, people. It's
worth every penny.
I don't know how much it is because I get it for free and then I sell a bootleg version. But you you should pay full price to those guys because they busted their ass on it and it's beautiful. If I didn't get it for free, there's a good chance I would have paid for it.
Nice. And I did the final proof of that thing and it is a beast, and I cannot believe how much content is there and really how much work they must put into that. I mean, it took me forever to get through that document.
Yeah, and we're going to have some of the guys on the show to talk about the watch in the next couple of weeks. And we also have a great lineup of guests coming up. So check us out. Check out our Twitter handle, at Dynasty Trades HQ. And, give us a rate and review on iTunes.
Yeah, go give us – go on iTunes. Give us a 5-star. Don't come with that 4-star bullshit. If it's a 4-star, you keep that shit to yourself. I want a 5-star. Also, don't forget to become a patron. We're going to go tape a patron show now for the wonderful people that keep the show running. It's a very expensive show to produce. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I charge so much to do this.
It's hard to make me look this pretty. It is.
And the best part of it, we're going to do a Patreon show with Katie, who's sitting there very quietly pretending not to still be here. So great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. And oh, my gosh. It's a good thing we're not on video. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Take care, guys.